Sweatshop is a literacy movement based in Western Sydney that is devoted to empowering culturally and linguistically diverse communities through reading, writing and critical thinking. Sweatshop provides research, training, mentoring and employment opportunities for emerging and established writers and arts practitioners from Indigenous and non-English speaking backgrounds. It's run by a team of culturally diverse arts practitioners, including founding director Dr. Michael Muhammad Ahmad, joining us today on 2SER Breakfast. Morning, Doctor. How are you?
Good morning and assalamu alaikum. I'm very well. How are you?
Ah, assalamu alaikum yourself. Did you want to say that correctly? How do I do that right? And how do I do that?
Actually, how do I do that in a culturally correct way? Well done. Actually, that wasn't bad.
Salaam. There we go. Hey, this is great stuff you're doing there with Sweatshop. How did you develop this movement into what it's becoming now?
Well, thank you for the question and for inviting me onto your program. Sweatshop, you already gave the kind of the overall description. So I'll delve into the politics for a moment.
Sure.
People always pop their heads into my office and ask, where are the sewing machines? What people don't realize is that actually the ancient origins of the word text is to weave. And so what I like to say is that there's no sewing machines at Sweatshop, but there's a lot of stitching. This stitching together of words. But where we are different from a traditional sweatshop, which are historically about disempowering First Nations people and people of color.
Yeah.
Our sweatshop is a sweatshop that is about empowering marginalized groups through, as you pointed out, reading, writing, and critical thinking. And our work is based on the philosophies of an important African American feminist activist and scholar named Bell Hooks, who passed away several years ago, but whose legacy lives on in the work of people like ourselves. Two concepts that we learned from her. First is the idea that all steps towards freedom and justice in any culture are always dependent on mass-based literacy movements, because degrees of literacy determine how we see what we see. So basically, your ability to understand information and deconstruct that information is determined by your level of literacy. And then the second philosophy is the concept of coming to voice, the act of moving from silence to speech as a revolutionary gesture. So this is about representation. And when you combine these two ideas together, one is about critically engaging in the world around you. And then the second is about having the tools and the resources to provide alternatives. And that's the basic model that Sweatshop is predicated on.
And Bell Hooks, what a person to model yourself after, all lowercase if you're looking for them online. Now, one of your programs is your publications, collections of poetry and prose, which focus on a specific Australian identity. What are the elements that go into creating these?
You know, firstly, for anyone that's listening and is curious, you can jump on the Sweatshop website, sweatshop.ws, and you can see our catalogue of publications. And I always pride myself on pointing out that Sweatshop is at its core a socialist movement. And, you know, I do understand that books are actually quite expensive and cost of living is very high in Australia. So we really pride ourselves on making sure that our books are very, very affordable and accessible to people from low-income households, from First Nations backgrounds, culturally and linguistically diverse backgrounds, university students, high school students. So, you know, the average book in Australia now is about $30, but Sweatshop, our books are about $20. And so we always make sure that they're affordable and accessible. And the primary vehicle and idea behind how we produce publications is to identify gaps within the community and in the literary culture in general, and then try to fill those gaps. And I have an absolutely perfect example for you, hot off the press right now, that's just come out this morning. So the Miles Franklin shortlist, which is the, you know, most prestigious literary prize in Australia, has just been announced.
Yes.
Our general manager and one of our leading editors is Winnie Dunn, whose book Dirt Poor Islanders is on the Miles Franklin shortlist. Dirt Poor Islanders is Australia's first Tongan novel in history. And so by extension, it's the first Pacifica work that's ever been shortlisted or even longlisted for the Miles Franklin Literary Award. Now, Winnie has already initiated a Pacifica literary initiative that will result in an anthology of Pacifica writing, which will be released next year, that we're producing in partnership with New South Books. And that's a very good example of identifying a very talented, very competent, very artistically inclined individual from the community, and supporting her to develop her debut work and see her make milestones, and then watch as Winnie becomes a leader in her community. And so now we're going to see, as a byproduct of the wonderful achievements that Winnie's had, hopefully over the next couple of years, an explosion of Pacifica literature in Australia. Another example, which we just announced, is Natalia Figueroa Barroso is going to be the first Uruguayan author in Australian history. Her book's coming out in August with UQP. It's called Hailstones Fell Without Rain. And to coincide with the release of Natalia's book, we've announced the first ever Latin American literary initiative. And over the last few days, we've had so many Latin American Australian writers applying to join this program, which will also result in many Latin American writers in Australia, being highlighted in the literary sector. And so what we do is we identify communities that are underrepresented and try and create spaces for them to be seen. And what I find, this is the last point I'll make, what I find so interesting is, I think for most Australians, it wouldn't even occur to them that that there is a large community of Pacifica authors, Samoan, Tongan, Maori, Fijian, who are just sitting there waiting to have their stories heard, or that there's a large community of Latin American writers who are waiting for their stories and their experiences to be heard. But once you actually create the initiative and create the platform, you see this entire community come to life. And so we've had literally hundreds of applications in the last couple of weeks from Pacificas and Latin American writers who are making the effort to be seen and heard.
And how do people apply? Is it simply a matter of going to the website and following the links?
Thanks for asking. So yes, what I think is wonderful about the Sweatshop website is that it's very accessible. It's not just a bookstore. It's a platform for diverse writing and writers. And so if you jump on that website, you can go to our fellowship section, and there are numerous programs that we're running concurrently and that are ongoing, which provide different opportunities at different moments in time for different communities. And so the Latin American program, if you are a Latin American writer and you're interested, for example, you can jump on now and put in an application. They're very simple and easy to navigate. And then you could potentially have an opportunity to participate in these programs and have your work presented and published over several years. We're in it for the long haul.
Indeed you are. Your most recent publication is Ritual, which celebrates Muslim Australian identities. Obviously these writers are writers that need to be highlighted as well in the literary and publishing world.
Right now we're seeing the largest incidents of anti-Muslim and Islamophobic hysteria, which obviously is influenced by the current catastrophe that's taking place in the Middle East. Earlier this year, Sweatshop did very proudly release Australia's first ever Muslim poetry anthology. This is a collection of poetry that was edited by multi-award winning authors and poets Sara Solah and Zainab Sayed. And it features 40 Muslim identifying poets. And what's very special about this book is the diversity. I think people have a very one-dimensional understanding of what Muslim communities are.
Yeah.
But you see, the majority of the contributors, including the editors themselves, are women, and that in its own right subverts these, exhausting narratives that women in our community Indeed. Are disempowered, are voiceless, have no agency. This was a women's led initiative that Sara and Zainab brought to Sweatshop and said they wanted to create. We also see representation from Muslim poets who identify as LGBT, as members of the LGBT community.
Yeah.
Again, something that's incredibly subversive and that there's a lot of misconceptions and misunderstandings around. So we see books like Ritual really are really important because they subvert Islamophobic tropes and they show Australia a more complex and nuanced and diverse side of these communities that have historically been underrepresented.
Dr. Michael Muhammad Ahmad from Sweatshop. So much more I want to talk to you about, but I better let you go. You're obviously an incredibly successful writer yourself. Your book, The Tribe, won the 2015 Sydney Morning Herald Best Young Novelist of the Year Award. Before I let you go, you got anything you're working on at the moment that you're able to speak
about? Thank you for that. Thank you for that question. Look, I do have a new book coming out early next year, but I won't talk about that because it's a few months away. But I do want to take the opportunity to say one very special thing.
Please do.
You pointed out that my debut novel, The Tribe, came out in 2014. and it won the Sydney Morning Herald Best Young Novelist of the Year Award in 2015. That is correct. Do you know, last year, the tribe celebrated its 10-year anniversary, and I felt so honoured and humbled to have the opportunity to work with my first publisher, Juramondo Publishing, and my my first editor, my mentor, my doctoral supervisor, Professor Ivor Indig, to re-release a 10-year anniversary edition of The Tribe that has a, cool. a really powerful preface by Jumana Beyer, who's the preeminent scholar in Australia on Arab diaspora literature. And so I do strongly encourage people, if they can, to check out the 10-year anniversary edition of The Tribe. And I want to say one last thing, because this is the very special point. You know, Ivor Indig, who was my mentor and editor, he comes from a Jewish background, and I come from obviously an Arab Muslim background. And what's so special about going back to The Tribe and recreating this book and bringing it back to life with Professor Indig is the achievements that Arab and Jewish communities can create when we come together. And obviously that's a very important message to share with our audience at this particular moment in time, when we see so much conflict and horror and tragedy in the Arab world and in other parts of the world.
Doctor, thank you so much for joining us here today. Please tell Winnie Dunn congratulations for making the Miles Franklin shortlist. That's awesome. When you're having a bit of cake to celebrate, let them know that 2SER loves all of your work. Come back soon, won't you?
Thanks, brother. Will do. Thank you.
All the details there about Sweatshop will be going up on the website really soon. My thanks to Dr. Michael Muhammad Ahmad. 2SER Breakfast.